Hello, this is Michael Ford, trying out Audio Boot. I'm a Python developer living in Northampton, UK. I've been meaning to try out podcasting for quite some time, but never got it together. I did the usual thing, which was to buy the equipment, hoping that would motivate me to do it. So I got this fancy Samson CO1U microphone, which I can really recommend. And it's a great Skype microphone, so I use it for pair programming and for Skype, but haven't actually got around to podcasting. This is actually a program called Audio Boo and recorded on my iPhone, so we'll see what the quality is like. Anyway, I thought I'd give this a start by looking at some of the books that have been coming out in the Python world recently. Now, this may not be a surprise if you know me. My blog is at voidspace.org.uk/blog. I regularly blog on Python and particularly IronPython-related topics. And my book, IronPython in Action, has now been out for about 3 months. So IronPythoninAction.com, if you're looking or interested in IronPython, it's a fantastic book. Highly recommended. But that wasn't actually what I wanted to talk about. This was triggered by David Beasley, who is the author of a book that's just come out, and here we go, Python Essential Reference, the fourth edition. I've met David at a few conferences. He's a great guy. He's the author of the Ply Toolkit, which is the Python Lex and Yakka parsing library, which we use at Resolver Systems, and it's a great toolkit, and he does some very good talks, particularly on generators. And so I've just ordered the Python Essential Reference. It comes out. It's come out now. It's available on Amazon. And it covers Python 3, which is probably them, and Python 2.6, the major things in the new edition. But it's interesting, when we think about programming language popularity, it's very hard to get objective metrics on how widely different programming languages are used. In fact, it's basically impossible. One way you can do is look at downloads. For example, earlier this year, the Python for Windows was downloaded more than 1 million times in, I think, February or March this year. But Python itself comes pre-installed on most Linux distributions these days. So merely how often it's being downloaded, it isn't a very good metric at all. It tells you nothing about how many people are actually using it. There are various websites that attempt to look at how popular programming languages are by look at how widely they're discussed on on the internet, on blogs and news groups and so on. I think the TOBE Community Index is one that attempts to track it like that. And Python does very well on that, beating out C-sharp often. But of course, C-sharp is much more widely used commercially, probably an order of magnitude more or so, being the standard Windows development language for the .NET framework. And you could argue that language popularity, how much people like programming languages, is very different to how much they're actually being used commercially. But either way, that's only one metric, and that perhaps doesn't tell you a great deal. There are a few other ways. You can look at jobs, which is probably a very good way of looking at how widely different programming languages are used. And you can look at the number of books that are coming out. Perhaps another interesting metric is how many different implementations of the programming language are in progress. Particularly thinking about the number of different implementations and the number of books. So the meteoric rise of Ruby as a programming language, sort of 2006, 2007, was a very interesting phenomenon to watch. It was very good for dynamic languages in general. So certainly as someone who primarily programs in Python, I'm very grateful to Ruby and the Ruby community for all they did in promoting dynamic languages. And suddenly dynamic languages became acceptable and interesting in all sorts of places where they wouldn't have been before. And around 2007, if you looked at the number of new programming books coming out, there weren't very many for Python. There was an enormous amount for Ruby. If you look at the number of new implementations of the programming language, it seemed like suddenly everyone was doing a new implementation of Ruby. So you had JRuby, there's IronRuby, of course, which is approaching 1.0 and is the evil twin of IronPython. There's MacRuby, I think there's one called GemRuby. There were lots of people who were coming up with new implementations, often with the goal of making Ruby faster. And you could say, as I am, I suppose, that Ruby desperately needed to be faster. And in